Welcome to the Christ Community Church Muntreat Podcast. Kevin Allman here with Pastor Richard White. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning, Kevin.
Well, I have a question here that is poignant for the times we live in, so let me just dive right in. Okay. It says, I live and work in an environment that is hostile to Christians. I find myself hiding what I really think and believe. I've seen the way that Christians are treated if they do speak of their faith, and it makes me afraid. I'm not ashamed of the gospel or Jesus, but it feels more like casting pearls before swine, that if I say anything, it will be trampled underfoot. I struggle with this because I want to not be afraid to share the gospel, and I don't want Jesus to be disappointed in me. I would appreciate any guidance that you would have.
That's a beautiful question. I love the heart behind that wants to honor Christ and walk in obedience and also be salt and light in that workplace. A lot comes to my mind.
Let me add to that, Richard, that I hear this person and I understand what they're talking about. Times have changed. It's a different world that we're in. And it's not just that. I think when we were growing up, Richard, there was more of a thought of thinking along these lines of maybe just being dismissed or that sort of thing. But you can actually become the target at this point of hostile actions.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's been a tremendous shift in our culture. And we've simply got to wake up to it. And the shift is this, that your views on Christianity, your private views, there was a time when it was okay, that you have your views, I have my views. But now the shift in our culture is that the Christian understanding of marriage and sexuality is hostile and abusive and judgmental and therefore wrong. And so I think we're going to see this more and more, that Christians are called out as being people who are hate mongers. And we are bad for society, and our views need to be suppressed because we've been the suppressors through our theology, whatever, through our biblical understanding. That there's just a wholesale rejection of biblical truth. Mm-hmm. Interesting the dynamic of, I know this is away from the question, but our world is interested today in justice, caring for the poor, taking care of the planet, being kind to others. Where did that come from? That came out of a biblical ethic, a worldview. I mean, that was not the Roman world. That was not most of the world. In fact, there was none of the world until Christ and his people began being salt and light and brought about all of those things that our world now values. Mm. But what our world wants is the ethic of it without the God behind it. Mm. And the sad thing is it won't work because it becomes a new legalism. It becomes a stick to beat people with. Everything that the world hates, what they accuse about Christianity, it is going to become. Mm. Because you cannot have laws like this without enforcing them on people. And that's what Christianity did not do at first. It didn't come along enforcing justice and enforcing being kind to the poor. It just did it. And so the world's going to reap what it sows. Mm. Of its own viciousness. And this will just play out through the years. But back to the question, because it's so poignant for us all, how do we operate in a hostile culture that views our Christianity as oppressive, to women, to minorities, to the poor, to anybody who's not like them. I think we've got to own our judgmentalism as Christians. I mean, the irony is, you know, we follow a Savior who didn't come to judge the world, but to save it. We follow a Savior who laid down his rights and his life for the sake of others. And, to what extent are we willing to do that, to love our neighbor? But again, back in the office here, first of all, look to Jesus. I just think, you know, how do we thread the needle of this culture? Thread it with Jesus. Stay close to Jesus. Mm. He is our source of strength and our example. And look at his life. So he goes home to Nazareth, and he reads the scroll in the temple, and they were angry with him. His own neighborhood got angry with him. Luke's gospel, Luke 4, tells us that they drove him to the precipice of a hill to throw him off. Yeah. And he walked through the crowd. That's a mysterious thing. But in Mark's account of this, Mark 6:5, I think it is, it says he could do no miracles there because of their unbelief, and he left. So I think what I draw from this is there may be a time where wrath comes against us, and there's just nothing we can do. Mm. And even Jesus didn't stay there and try to reason with them and try to show them, you know, well, let me show you a few miracles, you know, that you're wrong, you know. No, he left. He distanced himself from them. He did that repeatedly with the Pharisees and the scribes, the religious leaders. He did not invest himself with them and engage them periodically, but by and large, he stayed away from them. Mm. When he went into the Decapolis, remember the demoniac, he heals this man. And of course, the demons are cast into the pigs and, you know, 2,000 pigs are killed. And the townspeople come out and the word is they begged him to leave their region. Mm. Jesus, please get out of here. You're destroying our lives. We don't want you here. And he got in the boat and left. Mm. He didn't stay and antagonize them. And I think that's an important thing for us to learn. You know, Jesus didn't send us into a situation to antagonize people. And it's kind of like hitting a bee's nest. You know, he didn't put a big stick in our hand, call the gospel and say, now go whack that hornet's nest and just stir things up. He didn't. He told us to love and by our good works. What we looked at Sunday, you're the light of the world, and by your good works, they will praise your Father in heaven. And I think we're at that place in our culture that I think this is instructive. And I realize I'm looking at 1 Peter 3:1, and it's an instruction to wives with unbelieving husbands. And Peter says, likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands. So there's a you know, staying in the marriage, subject or submissive, you know, the role that God calls wives to with their husbands, even with an unbelieving one. So stay there so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives when they see your respectful and pure conduct. And I think that's an appropriate word that we can extend beyond wives married to unbelievers. But we're not called to speech. We're called to conduct. We're called to respectful, pure conduct. That's what the wife is. Well, Paul, in instructions to slaves, talks about obeying your masters, not just when their eyes on you, but doing your work as unto the Lord. And so I would say for this person in the work environment, work for Jesus in that place and see your colleagues, as hard as it is, see them as Jesus and serve them and honor them and bless them. Doesn't mean you become a doormat. You do have your standards and you know, there's a way Jesus calls us to be, and we say no to sin, and it's wrong to let people sin against you. But the respect and the honor that you show to others, you're doing for Jesus. Mm-hmm. And, you know, being the best worker you can be, you may not be the best worker in the office, but you should be the best worker you can be and do your work as to the Lord. Speak honorably, bless others. Maybe you don't engage in those conversations because they're fruitless anyway. You know, the political conversations around the water cooler, or you know, people dissing Christians, and you know, you just don't participate in those because they don't go anywhere. You're not going to win anybody by arguing. There's a book that I highly recommend. It's called God Space by Doug Pollack, P-O-L-L-O-C-K, Doug Pollack, God Space. And what it is doing is it's addressing this very issue that it's hard to talk to people about the things of the soul, things of who God and Christ is. And so how do you create God Space? Well, He it's a very thin book too, so it's nice. But he talks about asking questions and a lot of wondering questions. And it's a disarming way to build trust with somebody and to just start a conversation. Probably not going to happen in a big group. But I mean, one of the things this guy does, he speaks in a lot of different places. And so before he goes to a speaking engagement, he'll go to a local brewery or just a bar. And he'll sit down with, he'll introduce himself and, you know, these guys, who are you? And I don't know if he offers to buy him a beer. I can't remember that. But he says, hey, I'm a Christian and I'm about to go speak to a group, a church. Do y'all go to church? Nah, we don't go to church. He says, well, what would you say to those Christians? You tell me, and I will communicate to them. And, you know, over a course of, 20, 30 minutes, they get down to some real things about mm-hmm. their hurts, the real issues of why they don't go to church, mm-hmm. Their views of Christian. You know, there might be some just blowing off steam, a bunch of hypocrites, and whatever at first. But as you stick in there and you listen, you oh, wow, okay, that's significant stuff. Yeah, well, I'll communicate that. You know, to some degree, if you're known as a Christian, a follower of Christ, start asking wondering questions. Why does Jesus make you so angry? What has your experience been with the church personally? Where have you seen Christians acting badly? I wonder if you've seen any good examples of Christians. Sometimes, in a group setting, it's just this mob mentality. Mm-hmm. And that's just so hard to fight against. And I would not recommend to anybody stepping into the mob. But with colleagues, one-on-one, break times, lunches, begin asking the wondering questions. And be willing to take some shots for Jesus. Yeah. And don't fight back. I think we bless instead of curse. And we really have to eat a lot of bitterness from others. Mm-hmm. And so all that to say, it is not a mistake that you are in that office and it's a hostile environment and God has you there. Mm-hmm. The Lord will meet you there. And maybe he has you there simply as a praying influence in the lives of others. Mm-hmm. And by your demeanor, your conduct, your good works, your blessing others, even those who curse you, that is going to be salt and light that the Lord will use and he will bless. And this is your calling. This is the dark, rotting place that he has put you to bring gospel light and maybe some transformation. One thing that I'd also encourage somebody in a place like that, talk with your talk with other Christians and say, hey, I'm in this place. Would you commit to pray for me in this place that I would know how to represent Christ well? And you know, I'd be able to bless when I'm cursed and know how to engage when Christ is being maligned or Christians are being trashed and you know, a lost world. I mean, in a way you can't, and they're responsible, but you can't fault sinners for being sinners. You know, they're gonna do what they do and that's what they do. So, you know, instead of judging them, you know, God have mercy on these people. They are blind. They don't see. And the only reason I see is because you opened my eyes. And Lord, would you do that for them? But look to Jesus. He knows what it is to be in those very situations. And sometimes there's a walking away, not engaging and dropping back, praying, but certainly doing good and blessing.
So is that what is meant by the passage about not casting pearls before swine? Is that what Jesus was doing when he turned and walked away?
I think that is in part what that is. It's you know, it's going to be an absolute. I mean, sometimes you've got to say something. Boom, you're setting a standard, and you know, is the Holy Spirit leading you to do that? I mean, Jesus said very hard things to religious leaders, but at some point. You're just wasting your breath. You are throwing pearls before swine, you know, beautiful, costly things to ones who cannot receive them. And so there's a wisdom and a discernment we need in these things. And that's not to call people pigs or dogs, but it's to know the times you're in, the circumstance. And, you know, there's a word here that I have that they do not have ears for.
Yeah, I mean, the illustration is that a pig hasn't the slightest idea what a pearl is for
right.
or what its value is.
Right, right. Yeah. And I think too of the persecuted church around the world, the church in China and Russia, in a lot of Muslim speaking countries, or Arabic speaking countries, Muslim countries. Christians keep a very low profile there because. Get your head chopped off, and I don't think the Lord wants us just you know popping up. I'm a Christian. Hey, you know, do you know Jesus? Jesus takes into consideration where people are and the hostility that comes against. And even he walked away, and hid himself. Mm-hmm. There are other times when we are called to stand up, stand out, and I think that's where we got to walk with the Holy Spirit very carefully and. Mm-hmm. And discerningly and obey when the Spirit says, step up and speak. Mm. But there's a lot of Christians and you know, just following the pattern of Christ who, yeah, they don't have ears to hear. And this is not the time to speak. This is always a time to pray and a time to act and to bless and to love even our enemies. But until they have ears to hear, yeah, we may just be a seek to be a praying force at the office or in a home, in a relationship.
Hmm. Will you pray for us?
Yes. Yes. Father, I thank you for where this person is who's asked this question. And I pray, Lord, enable this one to know your presence, Jesus, with them in that office setting. And Lord, the accusations, the hostility toward Christians, it is toward you, Jesus. And would you be the strength and the comfort of your people in those hostile environments? Would you grant wisdom, Lord, to know what to say and when to say, what should be spoken? And Lord, by all measures, Lord, fill with your Holy Spirit and enable your people to do works of service, to bless and not curse, to love and not hate. Lord, oh, I pray how the fruit of the Holy Spirit will hang heavy in the lives of your people, Lord, in this congregation, in our work environments, that people would see something different about us and even ask the reason for the hope that is in us. Mm. And Lord, pray that we would be truly a peculiar people, And when mocked, when ridiculed because of Christ, Lord, may we bear that in the confidence that that you are with us and you hear this. And Lord, you will sustain us and you will deliver us someday. But Lord, would you also use our good works as an advance for the gospel itself in the lives of others who are lost. We ask these things for the glory of Christ in our workplaces. Amen.